One. Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our continuing 2024 2025 preseason coverage. And tonight is one of our favorite nights of our whole preseason because we are simultaneously recording four podcasts, Greg.
Yes.
So am I correct?
Yes, all at once. I mean, they're all in this post. The rest are down there. I think this is the one that's on the very top. I think. I don't
Yes.
know, but like if you see down there, you'll see the other three. You can hit play on each of them and watch all four of them at the same time. This is
You can
incredible.
watch it.
Importantly, we get quadruple the buzzers for the puppet. Yeah. Well,
Oh,
no, we don't want the buzzers. So.
yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I did not get the buzzer set up for the podcast, but we got it up and running now. This is our American Athletic Conference preview show. By the way, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Got David Griggs over there, John Stalica below me, John Tytel to his side. And let's get right into it with the American Athletic Conference. And Griggs, let me start with you. I'm seeing a lot of preseason love in this conference for a couple different teams, but maybe the most intriguing one is the Memphis Tigers, just with everything that's been going on,
Right.
maybe off the court more so than on the court with this team off season.
Well, it seems like every preseason and even into the start of the out of conference portion of the season to a point, Memphis is a team that you look at them and assess them and say, wow, this team is super talented. They've got a really high ceiling. And then at the end of the year, we're not even discussing them, not even nominating them. They're not in any of Tytel's brackets or seldom. And, we're not getting selected. And how many years in a row does that have to happen to where you're just not believing the hype? Now, when you look at them, and I know Tytel will have some opinions on this as well. They look really good. But, I just don't. You had said off air that you weren't even expecting them to make the NCAA tournament, which may sound preposterous, but I'm almost to the point to where I agree with you because until they actually play up to their ceiling, I'm starting to think that they just won't or can't.
Yeah, it's just always drama around Penny, the whole coaching staff disappearing in the off season.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that. The whole staff was let go.
But Tytel, actually on the court though, they've got some very nice transfers coming in, like Colby Reynolds and PJ Haggerty. This could be a really good group of players, at least, I would put that way.
And Haggerty is familiar with this conference as he was freshman of the year last year at Tulsa. And they bring in Tyrese Hunter, who's been to not one but two Sweet 16s already. If he makes a third with Memphis, I assume that's a record, but obviously. Well, we don't want to put the cart before the horse. He's got Tyrese Smith, Musa Cisse, Colby Rogers. Like, there's a lot of senior veteran leadership around Haggerty. And in terms of off the court, or at least off the playing surface on the sideline, he has a couple of nice assistants. Nolan Smith, who was an All-American at Duke and won a title in 2010, and Mike Davis. Penny's played in, excuse me, has coached two NCAA tournaments. Mike Davis has coached in nine of them.
I gotta say, maybe this is a podcast for later on the season. So the Colby Rogers playing in his fourth school. I don't know if exactly 4 years, but fourth school. And I this is just one of the problems I have with transfers these days. You could literally have guys play 4 years, four different schools. But like I said, that's probably discussion for another day. But I think we're seeing more and more of that this day. Sorry,
Yeah,
Griggs.
we are, and that is a discussion for another day, and it's one we're going to have because it is worth discussing very much so. It's getting kind of to where it feels like rosters are being put together more and more transactional reasons than relationship reasons, and there's really no rules now that would prevent a player from leaving at the end of the term. So are we going to start seeing roster overhaul in December over Christmas break? Is that what's coming next? And I think that it may be.
Stalica, I want a couple of things I want to just talk to you about, but a team that actually got a little bit of preseason love votes in the top 25 polls, not making the top 25. What's this UAB team? They were in the tournament last year as a 12 seed, and they got a lot of guys back.
Yeah, I feel like Yoxel Lendeborg is going to be the main guy we're going to be talking about with the Blazers. We get another great nickname, Efren Johnson, better known as Butta Johnson. And then you also have Alejandro Vasquez. So that's going to give the Blazers a bit of a core to work with right here. Now, if we're talking about regular season tests prior to conference play, they're going to have Vermont at High Point, and they'll also be part of the Paradise Jam, which includes games against Longwood and either Illinois State or McNeese. So one of the threads here is not a whole lot of Power Four tests for the Blazers right here. So they better run the table out of conference if they're going to be an at-large contender.
That is a really good point, John. I think UAB at least has the pieces to be an at-large caliber team. Do they have the chances to get there? What do you think, Tytel? You guess the committee all the time. Their margin for error is kind of small with a schedule like that, wouldn't you agree?
Razor thin. Chance, and Lindenborg is a great pick for player of the year, maybe All American. He could easily have a double double, but razor thin.
Yeah.
Sleek, I want to stick with you actually, because I know you also want to discuss Florida Atlantic tonight, a team that was also in the NCAA tournament last year as an at-large bid at an 8 seed.
Well, this is a team that's supposedly about 4 to 8 miles from paradise, but now they're 100 country miles away from the team that was in the Final Four 2 years ago, and as you noted, in the NCAA tournament last year. So when head coach Dusty May left town, so did Vlad Goldin and Jonell Davis, who went to Michigan and Arkansas respectively. So obviously they're going to have to rebuild through the portal here. So they get a few scores and Ken Evans Jr., who's coming over from Jackson State. You get one-time Musketeer Kiki Tandy, who actually was at Jacksonville State last year. But you also have Leland Walker coming over from Eastern Kentucky. And you also have a Power Conference transfer in Baba Miller, who had spent some time with the Seminoles right here.
Yeah, I'm seeing a big step back for this team on John Jacobs, the new head coach there. But Tytel, a team that has been consistently almost there every year, seems as this North Texas team. I think I know you have some thoughts on them heading into this season.
So I was unsure what to expect from Coach Ross Hodge in his debut last year. I would say a success. 19 wins, went to the NIT, won at LSU. I'd say that's a success. They faced four top 100 KenPom teams last year in non-conference play. There's only one I see currently on the schedule for next month. They had a road trip to Minnesota on November 13th. They bring in many transfers, as does everybody we ever talk about on every podcast these days. Latrell Jussel from SFA, Aiton Wright from Drake, Jonathan Massey from Longwood, Jasper Floyd from Fairfield. The bad news, they lost each of their top six scorers in Jason Edwards, CJ Nolan, Reuben Jones, Aaron Scott, Robert Allen, John Buggs. So if they can find some offense for these new guys, they'll be okay. And if not, they're going to be horrible.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that it might be the latter, but they always seem to surprise me, though. So I'm not going to write them off. Griggs, I'll tell you, a team we should write off was last year's regular season champions. South Florida went 16-2 in this conference last season. Do you see
Yeah.
anything from this year from them this year? Because
I
I, oh,
actually do. Now,
okay.
define anything. Do I think they end up inside the bubble? Probably not, but Amir Abdur-Rahim is a really good coach. I know that there's a lot of overhaul on the roster, but when you look at what they've added, I think there is potential there. And if you look at the way they've played, back when they were at Kennesaw, they surprised us. Last year, when Kennesaw got those brand new, nice South Florida uniforms, they also surprised us. Can Kennesaw, South Florida surprise us again? That was a bad joke.
Okay.
I just think the loss of
Oh, come
Youngblood is
on. It
going to
was a
be a big
little
one
funny.
for the
You could have laughed a
Bulls.
little bit. Oh.
This show's going off the rails here. Sleeka, is there anyone else in this conference that you think can contend for the top of it that we have not discussed yet?
I've seen some love for Wichita State in the
Yes.
Bulls right here, although you could probably argue
Yeah.
not too many names that are running off the tip of my tongue right here, but I think we've already discussed all the teams in the American that I've done research on.
Well, let's yeah, you see Wichita State getting some preseason love. My question, and it's a one-word question. Why? Anyway.
Tytel, they got Horland Beverly. I mean, there's something coming up here at Wichita, is there not?
Sure, they're going to do many great things with Justin Hill and Zane Meeks and Corey Washington. I mean, yeah, do you think this is a 20-win team? Because I do not.
No, but I think they could finish with a winning record and be in the top half of the conference, which is good for Wichita given what they've done the last few years. I think it's a step up for Wichita, I'll put it that way.
That's true.
But Tytel, is there anybody else that you think that we have not discussed that may have a shot of doing something here?
No, I mean, we can dig deeper into the morass that is the teams that are going to go 9-9 in conference, but I don't know if that would be a great use of our time tonight.
Yeah, we've got teams like Tulsa, Charlotte, San Antonio, Temple bringing in Jamal Mashburn Jr., but I don't think it's going to be enough for them this year. East Carolina, Rice, Tulane, Griggs, anything else from you?
Yeah, one of my thoughts is Georgia State is picked to finish at the bottom, and I just think that they're, or, I'm sorry, not Georgia State,
Georgia State is not in this
Tulane.
conference. However,
Tulane.
their ex-head coach is
Oh,
at
it's a
Tulane, so go
preseason podcast. It doesn't, errors don't count. We're not keeping score yet. Tulane is picked to finish at the bottom of this conference. I love Ron Hohner. I certainly loved him at Georgia State and think that he had the potential to build Tulane up, but they're one of those programs that seems to be caught in that cycle of he's great at developing players, but he can't seem to build year to year because after he's done developing them, they all leave. Is the player development coach era over? Like, is it all about just how you can reload in the portal and the NIL and needing NIL to entice players? Because that's kind of sad to see somebody like Ron Hohner. We were all excited when he got that Tulane job because we figured, given time, he would build them up. But every time he starts to build them up, his building gets knocked down by someone other than him.
Maybe that's it's actually the worst for the conferences, these kind of four middle conferences that we're doing tonight, the
Yeah.
American A-10, Mountain West Coast Conference, maybe with the exception of Gonzaga, of course. But these conferences, you don't have the name and maybe the NIL money to really go after the top guys, but you also can't build guys like some of the small teams can still do. So these might be the teams that kind of gets crushed in the middle there as this
Yeah.
plays out, but just a something to pay attention to as we go forward next few years here. But let me go through each of you real quick here and ask two three questions. Number one, who's going to win the regular season title in this league? Number two, how many bids? One, two. Griggs, I know you want to go seven or eight.
Yeah.
And then also any other final thoughts about the Americans? Sleeka, let me start with you.
I think the easy question is probably going to be, I will say two NCAA bids. It's probably going to be UAB and Memphis. I think the second question going to be a little bit tougher. I'm probably going to say UAB wins the regular season crown, but Memphis obviously is going to have more in line as far as potential at-large credentials. But as far as a final thought, I think we're seeing probably the American getting the most publicity on the football side of the gridiron with both Army and Navy football having historical seasons. I'm not sure what their basketball teams would be capable of if they were to ever become full members in the American, though. But I'm guessing not anywhere near the top, in, at least in terms on the basketball side.
They're not near the top of the Patriots, so that's a very good assessment there, Stalika. I think you're right on with that.
It's Tytel.
I think Memphis wins this league by at least two games in the regular season. If they win the conference tourney, I think this is a one bid league. I'm not overly impressed with the UABs and North Texases of the world. If one of them gets upset, I think Memphis might sneak in as the second bid, but a lot of that will have to do with how they do in non-conference play. They have so many top 100 teams: Clemson, Virginia, Mississippi State, Mississippi, UConn, Missouri, et cetera, et cetera. So they'll give chances for tier one wins. As far as a final thought, I just want to give a shout out to FAU assistant coach Isaiah Austin. If you need somebody to cheer for this year, he is my guy. So FAU is not in this; they are in this conference. So
Yeah.
he has a 7'5" wingspan. You might remember him. He was a 2012 McDonald's All-American who went to Baylor and won the 2013 NIT. Then he declared for the draft and was diagnosed with Marfan syndrome. He's still partially blind in his right eye. He was able to play pro basketball overseas. He spent the past 2 years in the NBA as in the front office working on player development. So he's now hired by Jakus at FAU. So if you need somebody to cheer for, Isaiah Austin is your man.
All
I'm
right.
glad you brought that up, John. I didn't realize he was at FAU. I do remember his story. It's a great story, and I'm glad he's still part of the game. I can't top that final thought.
Real quick. My picks in this conference. I think it is a one bid league. I think the winner of the UAB Memphis game in the conference title game gets the only bid from this league. And I wouldn't be surprised to see those two teams tied at the regular season title. So I'm kind of punting on a pick there. I'll pick UAB to win it all if you tell me I have to pick somebody to win the regular season title. Griggs, how about you?
I think it's a one bid league in the sense that I think the first place team gets inside the bubble because first place teams typically do, as long as they do something out of conference, which, as we've already assessed, UAB really can't. I do think UAB is my pick to win it. And if someone else wins the conference tournament, I think maybe they get two, maybe. But if UAB does not win 26 or 27, then one of the games they better win better be that last one.
Oh, remember, South Florida won 25 games last year,
They
regular
did.
season champion, 16-2 in conference, went to the NIT.
Right, they did. And it's a similar setup. You have to beat somebody, and you can't beat anybody if you don't play anybody.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us for our American Conference preview. If you're looking for the A10, Griggs, it's
Down there.
down there, Mountain
Yep.
West. Where is
Further
that?
down. Yeah,
And
way
West
down.
Coast Conference.
I can't see it. It's way down there, but I think it's way down there. Yeah.
But if you're looking for any other leagues, check out the season preview tab up there. But on behalf of John Salica, John Tytel, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you again in about 2 minutes as we start the A10 preview right below us.